right. You ready for another half hour of news of political assassinations and conspiracies? One of the letters I received last week or several weeks ago is, have you considered communicating with Jack Anderson regarding the information you have found? She referred to some information I had on KGO last week. I was on the air with Bob Trevor, and she wanted me to get this to President Carter and reach Jack Anderson. And it's interesting I got that letter, because when I went off the air last week with you, I was talking about the importance of the news and the way the news manipulators swing our minds around and keep so many of the important events and facts I share with you each week off of the major news stations, or they refer to them as isolated events and don't make connecting links so that you can see the picture or structure coming together. It takes a special kind of mind to relate these events as they flow to see a pattern of whether it's assassinations or cover-ups or concealing the facts in the news. There's an article by Kevin Starr in the San Francisco Examiner this Sunday referring to that book that I mentioned when I came back on KLRB, Without Fear or Favor, by Harrison Salisbury. And this article by Kevin Starr is similar to what I was trying to say to you before about the news media covering up the facts and not allowing us to have the full truth, and how the New York Times specifically, Salisbury writes in his book, kept the newspaper, the New York Times, as a branch of the federal government, starting with its ownership in 1896, that Mr. Ox believed, Adolf Ox, that the New York Times should belong to the Wall Street establishment and to the White House. He thought that was the patriotic thing to do. And Harrison Salisbury said that the government had three branches, legislative, executive, and judicial, and also newspapers. And the book, Without Fear or Favor, claims that after 1971, the New York Times broke with the White House and decided to print the Pentagon Papers and not go along with what the White House ordered them to do. What he doesn't mention, I haven't read the book, but what he doesn't mention in this article, that one of the turning points might be the assassination of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Medgar Evers, and the continuous murder of civil rights leaders. I mean, we could just give a list of them for 1 hour. Maybe they caught on that it was dangerous to go along with everything the White House was doing. And so in 1971, they broke and decided to print the story of the Pentagon Papers. The main point that I want to make about this article is that the United States is not governed by these four branches, legislative, executive, judicial, and the news media. It's governed actually by five branches, and that changed in 1947 after World War II. The fifth branch is actually the intelligence system. The network of the National Security Agency, the National Security Council, Navy Intelligence, NASA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and the Defense Industry Security Command. Those intelligence agencies, and you can throw in the FBI also, which got a lot of muscle after World War II when we began to rearm against Russia the third time around and feared coexistence with the Soviet Union and what would it do to our labor movement or our lifestyle in the United States and how it eat into profits. And the panic took place in this country that, what, my goodness, if we have to live with the Soviets, we may become like them, and they will try to change us so that we become like they are and change the capitalistic system and get rid of the extremes of poverty and the extremes of wealth. So the intelligence network was set up in 1947, starting 1945. In 1947, it was firm. Under Harry Truman, he created the Central Intelligence Agency and then said when he resigned or left office, he had created a Gestapo, a monster. And it was President Eisenhower who warned us about the military intelligence. But the intelligence agency decides under the guise, in quotes, of national security, what the newspapers will print, and they also instruct the legislative, the executive, judicials. They put money behind the elections of congressmen. They put in certain batch of them starting 1946-47, getting ready. Those were the years when Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford and a whole group came into power in Congress and stayed there ever since. Many of them are still there. Not too many, but a few. But the point is that the agencies, the security agencies, took over and instruct the president what's good for national security, what he has to do, what his moves should be based, in quotes, on national security. And national security is always anything that has to do with what the Russians are doing or what we have to do to oppose them. In terms of news media, one of the men or the giants of the news media cover-up, in addition to what Harrison Salisbury is talking about, the New York Times and the major printed press, and then he goes on to say that all radio and television is regulated by the federal government, ABC, NBC, CBS. In addition to that, you get your columnist or your so-called muckraker like Jack Anderson, who was born in Long Beach and was served in the war in the Merchant Marine and then went to Washington. He moved into Drew Pearson's office in 1947. That's the year the Central Intelligence Agency was formed, and he took over Drew Pearson's files when Pearson died in 1969 after that rash of murders in the United States, that whole series of activists and so forth, and during the anti-war movement. Jack Anderson took over Drew Pearson's desk, and he has very carefully filtered the news of what he wants to have you believe. He tells you the truth, but he only tells you part of the truth, and sometimes he even outright lies. He's rented offices in Washington, D.C. from Irv Davidson from the Defense Department. Irv Davidson was in the defense and still could be. He's a gentleman who has threatened, if he's arrested, to tell everything that's going on in Washington, as McCord threatened to burn every tree in the forest. Irv Davidson has threatened if the government touches him on this arrest, he'll really start spilling the beans. He's one of the many people who's threatening blackmail the United States government at the time. Jack Anderson worked with Irv Davidson and rented from him. He worked with Frank Sturgis of the Kennedy assassination. He was heavily involved with very many people in the multiple assassinations, and never in his news story until just about a month ago even covered a whisper that there was a conspiracy on the Kennedy assassination. Irv Davidson, the fellow that ran into Jack Anderson and Drew Pearson, just threatened, this was April this year, if I get knocked out of the box, it's going to hurt this country. Sometimes the interests of the United States require certain things that, because of their shaky nature, cannot be identified with the United States. I told the FBI to play super agent with me. I have two passports. I'm dealing with National Security Council night and day. He rented the office space to Drew Pearson and Jack Anderson and was very familiar with them. Jack Anderson can talk about Dita Baird, the ITT memo. He can talk about Richard Nixon. He will not talk about the way power moves in this country and the links, for example, of Robert Vesco to Ronald Reagan. And I'll do other tapes later when I just talk about Ronald Reagan, about William Casey and Richard Allen, the War Hawks, for Ronald Reagan and their deep implication with Robert Vesco, the international swindler of hundreds of millions of dollars. Jack Anderson hits at the Carters very selectively, but he avoids the other side. He's a Mormon. He's similar to the... There's a lot of Mormons around the Howard Hughes organization, Senator Paul Lazalt, and the tribe, the Mormon Mafia, they were called, around Howard Hughes, selected Lazalt for president, but if not president, the man behind Ronald Reagan, and he's running his campaign now. And Jack Anderson, as I mentioned before, is a business partner, was a Madame Chenault of the Flying Tigers, who they've put Gerald Ford on their board of directors. So Jack Anderson is a typical newspaper man who gives one side of the story and moves the candidates and shakes them around, but never comes out with the hard facts that would enhance our life or keep us out of some of the conditions that we keep getting deeper into that are leading us towards nuclear war. Jack Anderson did have an article April the 2nd, just a short article, interestingly enough, the first he's ever admitted, in which he wrote, this is called Kennedy Probe, and I had it on a tape, tape 437, but I want to repeat it for the KLRB listeners. He said, while Abscam and Brilab scandals have been making headlines, the FBI is quietly digging into another assignment, the assassination of John Kennedy. The House Assassination Committee turned over to the Bureau its findings that Kennedy was probably killed as a result of a conspiracy. contrary to the conclusion of the Warren Commission 16 years ago. The FBI have been talking to former committee aides, seeking guidance for the use of their files in the archives and asking authors of some of the studies for the locations of other documents cited in their footnotes. They have come to a conclusion there was a fourth shot fired at Kennedy that day in Dealey Plaza. Now, in 17 years, that is all Jack Anderson has said about the Kennedy assassination. But he did something very interesting that I want to mention to you this evening to show you the way Anderson operates. In the San Jose Mercury, also today in the parade section, he has an article, The Life and Trials of Carlos Marcello. And he brings up the fact that Carlos Marcello has been indicted under the Abscam investigation, the FBI undercover sting operation, recently caught on tape an assortment of conniving congressmen. But he said the most startling catch-all was a 70-year-old grandfather from a quiet New Orleans suburb, Carlos Marcello. And Anderson said, after months of investigation, I've pieced together little pieces about Marcello. Now, Carlos Marcello and Irv Davidson have worked hand in glove through the entire assassination era. And Jack Anderson has worked along with these people, protected them. And I wondered, what in the world would Jack Anderson write about Marcello 17 years after the Kennedy assassination and hushing this entire crime and all the other murders up continuously? As long as Marcello is indicted, what's he going to say about his buddy or their co-workers? What could Jack Anderson say? The one valuable thing in the article is that he has a chart of the National Crime Syndicate Commission, Organized Crime in America, with all the main crime families from Louisiana, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, New York, the Gambinos, the Bonannos, the Genovese's, the Lucchese's, the Colombos, and so forth, the Angelo Brunos. He has a crime chart, but that doesn't have anything to say about Carlos Marcello. But he goes into a few past things that Marcello has been arrested for and got off the hook. But then Jack Anderson pulls a nice one. He writes about him, nothing important, nothing about Abscam or why he's indicted or his links to Irv Davidson or the assassinations. He says, Carlos Marcello lives in a three-bedroom house at 3908 Clifford Drive in New Orleans in the suburb of Metairie. Remarkably, it's located on an exposed corner lot. It's easily accessible to passerbys. There's no high stone walls or electric fences, no security alarms or watchdogs or armed guards protecting the property. He drives to the office either in his Lincoln or his Cadillac, the headquarters of a modest five-room near shopping complex, so forth. He says he goes to lunch at a certain restaurant next door where some of his brothers may join him, and it describes that he has a plantation in the bayou where he has secret underworld meetings. Now, considering that Jack Anderson for 17 years has protected by not exposing or mentioning the interlocking links of these assassins and the Kennedy assassination, and now he admits this Kennedy assassination is going further in its investigations, and it could rub off on these very people that have been the wheelers and dealers of the news media and of politics in Washington, D.C., and in their home states. Jack Anderson prints the address, the habit, where he lives. He tells you there's nobody at the property. He walks to his car. He gets up early in the morning. Now, if that isn't an instruction to kill Carlos Marcello, I've never seen or heard one. Not that it matters. Carlos Marcello, he goes on to say, makes $2 billion a year in gambling, prostitution, narcotics, and other criminal undertakings. The criminal undertakings are the extortion and the blackmail for having worked with David Ferry and Clay Shaw and the syndicate and the world Nazi links of Permandex in the murder of John Kennedy, and the role that Marcello played in the New Orleans area with a man that impersonated Lee Harvey Oswald in the New Orleans area, and also meeting with Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, in this article, Anderson doesn't mention David Ferry and Marcello. He doesn't say that Marcello not only is indicted in Abscam, but was suggested as being a possible assassin playing a role in the assassination of John Kennedy. In April, he admitted the Kennedy story is going to break open. Later, the Marcello indictment comes, and he's arrested for the Abscam. Now, Jack Anderson gives you his address and his habits. If you know the habits of other people involved, such as Robert Hall, who was involved with Ronald Reagan and Vesco, and Howard Hughes' affair, he was shot in his kitchen with, he'd gone to the refrigerator and was shot through the window and killed. He had three cherries in his mouth. That's always a description of his murder. Sam Giancana was killed in his home at the refrigerator. John Roselli was cut up and put in a drum and was found floating outside of Florida. All these people worked on the assassination teams with Robert Mayhew and the Hughes organization. And Carlos Prio Chicaro was shot. DeMorin Schill was shot through the mouth. And everyone involved, Jimmy Hoffa, was put in a presser, a car presser, and his body was never seen again. These mobsters and the intelligence agents that worked with the mobsters on the Kennedy assassination were most of them done in, William Harvey, and the only few left are Carlos Marcello and Santos Trafficante, and also James Angleton and Richard Helms. Those four are, and Robert Mayhew. There are other people involved with the underlings, but these are the biggies, and Marcello is one of the biggies because of his link to the World Nazi Organization and organized crime and the syndicate and gun running and various crimes for the past years, 50 years, he's been watched, in quotes, watched by the intelligence community while he carried on his $2 billion a year operation. As I said before, while the news media watched Onassis, they didn't watch Khashoggi very well, or Khashoggi. While they were watching Howard Hughes, they called him the billionaire, the crazy billionaire with $2 billion and watched his yacht. Didn't watch Onassis close enough, watched Hughes. Never came to the attention of many magazines that Carlos Marcello is making $2 billion a year, much more than Howard Hughes ever had with all the oil drills and oil bits and aerospace. $2 billion a year, Carlos Marcello. That's an awful lot of swindling and prostitution, narcotics, blackmail, and so forth. So Jack Anderson, who's worked with this gang, protected them, rented from them, known them personally, gives the address, the habits, the hour he wakes up, the cars he drives, and just about tells you, go on and get him. Here's, if you want him, go get him. Angelo Bruno was another important organized crime figure from Philadelphia who was linked to Samuel Cummings and Turpel and Corkella, who was blown away the very week of the Abscam arrests. Now, in conclusion, in the last 10 minutes, I want to call attention to an article. I hope those of you who get these tapes next week will be able to obtain, or did get off the stands, the Globe newspaper. The Globe is a small newspaper like the National Enquirer or the Star. It's been out for years. It used to be called the Midnight Globe, and I, for a while, did quite a few articles for them. They came out with their front page story this week, Onassis had JFK killed and many others slain. And there's a list of people that John Kennedy was one of them, John Kennedy murder, the Robert Kennedy murder, how Onassis was murdered, Oswald's murder, Chappaquiddick, the murder of Pope Pius XI, J. Edgar Hoover's murder, Lyndon Johnson's murder, Martin Luther King's murder. You can order this book, and I'll have a sheet of bibliography for those of you that send for it where you can order this book. You can write to me, and I'll give you the name of this book. It comes out of California, Lake Tahoe. And the author of this book that the Globe is talking about, his name is Mr. Renzo. He works for the Central Intelligence Agency, and he's publishing the book of the Gemstone Files. And many of you are familiar with the Gemstone Files, and some of you don't know about them. Bruce Roberts wrote the Gemstone Files. I first met Bruce Roberts in 1972 when I wrote Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped? It was published by Paul Krasner and The Realist in August of 72. And around, November, not much later than November or August, I was on KGO radio talking about Martha Mitchell and the CIA behind the Watergate and Richard Nixon behind Watergate. And I got a letter and a phone call from a Bruce Roberts. And he called me a few times. I met him in San Francisco. And he put in my hands the entire Gemstone File. It's 400 pages. And he made allegations about these various murders, how Kennedy was murdered, and the role of Aristotle Onassis in these murders. And it was a chronology of the life of Onassis, the Greek drug pusher selling opium and hashish in Argentina, his work with Joseph Kennedy and Meyer Lansky, and working up the links of Onassis to Nelson Rockefeller, the Rockefeller family, and Onassis buying Liberty ships, and how he kidnapped Howard Hughes and took over the entire Howard Hughes empire. As I say, I had 400 pages of the manuscript, and I kept it. I studied it for quite a few years, and in 1974, I wrote an article for Playgirl with Stephanie Caruana called "Is Howard Hughes Dead and Buried Off a Greek Island?" with the allegations that Onassis had indeed taken the original Howard Hughes. At the time, Bruce Roberts said it was Mr. Rector, Wayne Rector the double, but later Vance Cooper surfaced and said, I think it was Rector who surfaced later and said, no, I wasn't the person. Vance Cooper was the man who was kept as the double, and he's buried in Howard Hughes' grave. I took that part of the story of the Gemstone file and published that and sat on some of the other information and have used part of it, but not all of it, in the last years. And often people call and write, ask me about the Gemstone file. Maybe if I have time next week, I'll do an analysis. One-third of what the Gemstone file says, I believe, checking it out, is true. As far as I can tell, I've had it 8 years and read many, many books and articles on these stories to check them out. It seems to be true. About one-third of it is not true, and one-third of it can't be proven either way yet. Some of it is false information. It's disinformation. It's interesting that the Gemstone files got in the hands of the Central Intelligence Agency, and they want to make a movie. They said that a company is going to make a movie on the Gemstone file. Republic Picture Corporation and Fighting Tigers, this is an Air, subsidiary of Air America, the Central Intelligence Agency, are putting up the money to make a movie on the Gemstone files. Now, it's going to be difficult to do some of that. Of course, they claim that John Rosselli did the fatal headshot to John Kennedy. Because John Rosselli's dead, you can say anything. And they talk about the role of Onassis in the murder, knowing and planning the murders of John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and using Lyndon Johnson as a puppet. I would like to take those points and go over them with you at some other time and analyze them with you at length. The first thing that he told me, one of the things he told me in the Gemstone file, was that the Pope, Montini, was in the OSS at the Vatican, and the OSS, which was the American Intelligence System, and the CIA became all one, that the Vatican was a branch of the Central Intelligence Agency. Bruce Roberts told me that in 1972. Just this last week, there was an article in the Washington Post by Thomas O'Toole, "Prize World War II Spy Story in the Vatican." And it tells about a man who worked for the OSS, who was placed in the Vatican by James Angleton of counterintelligence. And he began writing articles from the Vatican and then was employed by the CIA later. And this information that he was sending through James Angleton was false information to President Roosevelt and to President Truman. And he was lying, and the State Department knew that the reports coming out of the Vatican through James Angleton to the presidents of the United States were false reports. This article says that two presidents, Roosevelt and Truman, died not knowing that the Vatican files that they were reading were false, but the intelligence community knew them. The writer's name was Scatolini, and he was a one-time writer for pornographic plays, that figures, and became a writer for the Vatican. They have the world's best collection of pornography in the Vatican. He was a writer for the Vatican and a writer for the CIA, placed there by James Angleton, and sent false information to the presidents of the United States. And later, they buried his information somewhere in Maryland. It was buried and dug up. The files were dug up, and they were unearthed around 1960 of the links of the CIA and the OSS in the Vatican. And one of the reasons that they brought this story out now is that somebody through the Freedom of Information sent for facts on the OSS and the Vatican. But as soon as this author, who worked for the United States government and wrote for the Vatican, was unearthed, they put him in prison and claimed that he was put in jail, and they discredited him and said he was sending false documents. But what he was doing during an election in 1948 in Italy was spreading stories about the Vatican. And what the Gemstone file was the exchange of information of people who knew what was going on in exchange for money, facts, and blackmail became more expensive and powerful than even gems. And secretaries were given gems or false gems made by IG Farben and synthetic gems in exchange for information, and information was peddled and blackmail was peddled. So the writer for the Vatican worked for the OSS and CIA, deceived the president of the United States. The CIA knew it. So that some of the things that Bruce Roberts turned me on to a long time ago that I continued to read and collect were in fact true. Now, before I finish, we just have about 2 minutes. I want to say that the information that I give you on these broadcasts, whether it's on the Klan or Jack Anderson's mentioning the Kennedy assassination, any material that I have during this hour is available on a printed sheet. If you want to send for it once a week or every 4 or 5 weeks, if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope with enough postage to cover the weight of the papers, I will send you the printed sheets with sources of information of where I'm getting materials, such as the CIA and the Vatican and events that are taking place. I no longer... I don't like to hear people say, this is too incredible, where does she get her information? For the cost of a self-addressed envelope and 10 cents, you can see where I get my information and you can share it yourselves. One other thing, the cassettes going out, we're having trouble with the subscribers because they're tested at the Tape Center in Carmel and they go out clear. Some people that receive them are complaining that they're hearing other programs. We're going to have to knock out the bottom of the cassette because if you receive these, you buy them and receive them, and then somebody plays over them, they're sent back to us with programs that we don't know where they're coming from. And the only way to solve that, unfortunately, is to knock out the bottom of the tape, and you won't be able to erase it, but then you'll have these tapes for all times, and that's important. If you want, I'll give you a bibliography of the books on Howard Hughes. I studied the Gemstones file, as I said, for many, many years. I still study parts of it, and I will do an analysis for you. But if you are out on the stands and can buy the Globe and keep their version of it, it would be interesting. Bruce Roberts died of a brain tumor several years ago. He was angry that I didn't use more of the material that he had given to me, but I had no way of checking it out any faster than I was using it. And I didn't want to get myself involved with lawsuits and give disinformation of something I couldn't prove. I'll let the Globe do that or other publishers, but I have to be a little more cautious. Well, this is Mae Brussel. Our time is up. It's another hour. We'll have another week together on KLRB next week. Save your newspapers, articles on the draft, mind control, pollution, assassinations, intrigue, and look a little closer. You'll see there's an awful lot of news there that people are missing. Save your newspapers maybe a month or 2 months even, and go back and get those articles after you hear my explanation of some of these events, and hopefully maybe you see them in a different light because a lot of good stories are being lost by not being interpreted right from the beginning to see what we're being told, such as the Klan telling you what they're going to do 10 years from now. That's like Hitler and Mein Kampf. Don't take it lightly. Study it. See who's publishing these books. Write to the FBI and protest this kind of activity. That's all for tonight. Time is up. This is Mae Brussel. You take care. Till next week.
Thank you, Mae. Mae Brussel will be back next Sunday at